right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. You know, Sandy, before we went to break, I was talking about education and teachers and the fact that they've been scapegoated so horribly in our society. And you mentioned that you've got a son that is an educator, and I know he takes his job seriously. I know the teachers that I've seen and been around in my 12 years that I've been in the school system, very serious. They take their jobs. And sometimes I have dialogue with them when kids aren't around, when they've got a break in between class. And they tell you how much it breaks their heart to know that, you know, kids are just not prepared. And you can't possibly have a kid who didn't learn in kindergarten and didn't pass. Believe it or not, they're kids who are not even able to wind up in a position that you can get passed in kindergarten. They're held back. And so if you can't read, if you don't know your alphabets in the first grade or second grade, and now you're in the third grade, it's impossible for you to learn. So you keep moving up to the higher level, higher level, higher level, not understanding what happened in the earlier stages. This is part of what is really at the root of kids not being able to learn. How is that the teacher's fault? I mean, I don't...
Well, and one of the problems that the public school system has that with charter schools, if you have a system in which families that are motivated and nuclear and want their children to move ahead and they're all interested in the education of their kid, if those parents are the ones who go out and find the voucher school and send their kids to
That's what's happening.
The voucher school has a much easier job than the public school system, which is left with the kids whose families are not involved. And so you end up with a classroom of children in a public school who come from a background that is very difficult to teach, and you end up with a wide range of capabilities in a classroom. So if you have 30 kids in the classroom and they all have different ranges of capabilities, it becomes very difficult to instruct them. So the outcome of what's happened with these charter schools is that, and with voucher schools, is that motivated families have exercised their ability to get vouchers, which means that the school that their kids go to is going to be more successful by definition, because the kids that are going there have involved families and have motivated families and are motivated themselves. And the public school is then left with the others. And that means that the outcome is predetermined by this selection process that goes into it, which is not random. Public schools, the magic of public schools was that everybody went to public schools and that it brought up the common denominator was improved within the class, and teachers were capable of learning how to deal with the smartest kids in the class as well as the kids who needed more help. And public schools had a highly successful outcome when they dealt with the broad range. It gets much more difficult to deal in a public school when the range of capabilities in your class is narrowed by the self-selection process.
You know, Sandy, my argument against vouchers, and I always said to people, I'm a guy who supports the public school system because that's where the masses of the children are, and I'm not opposed to these other things. But, you know, there was a time when vouchers first came into existence that there was a purpose and a reason for them. But they have now advanced to the degree that people who can afford and have been affording to pay for their kids to go to private schools are now included in the vouchers.
Well, you know.
And so to me, Sandy, you explain that to me.
Well, interestingly, there's the expression, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And the intentions behind vouchers originally was that they wanted to put the same capability in the hands of people without money as those with money.
Right.
And people with money were capable of sending their kids to private schools. So why shouldn't people without money have that same capability? If people with money have the advantage of picking a school, then why shouldn't poor people? But what happened very quickly was that the process allowed for the flight of people from the public school system, and it basically related to white flight.
Right.
And so a great deal of, like the parochial schools had a huge surge in the populations within parochial schools at the time when there was a great deal of white flight out of, for instance, the Milwaukee city and the Milwaukee municipal public school
right.
system. And so the intentions were good. The outcome from it, maybe the families who have exercised their right to get the voucher are pleased with that outcome, but the overall result, the impact on the system at large, has been extremely bad.
You know, because part of this is to say to people who've been able to afford to pay for their kids to go to school, and now to put that added burden on property owners to now be able to have to pay for people who can pay to send their kids to private schools makes zero sense to me. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, that's where we are with this. And many people don't understand the impact of what has really happened, Sandy, with vouchers and how it's morphed. Because even in places, I remember having conversations with people in Green Bay, private schools in Green Bay that say, hey, we don't want the voucher schools in our community. This is in Green Bay. And they're saying because we don't want those private schools to impact our public schools in different parts of, you know, the state. Who do we have on the line?
Bill from Oconomowoc.
Hey, Bill, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call.
Great job you're doing this morning, and you hit on a topic that's close to my heart. Those voucher schools, as your associate said, were done with, some, I would say, somewhat good attempt, but they also want to privatize education. Here's my point. Why should taxpayers, you just said it, fund private schools? Here's how you handle it. Let's let these private schools who want to do it, nothing wrong with that, drop your tax-free status. Drop it. Because if you're going to accept tax money, you can't avoid paying taxes.
Sorry.
You just can't. I don't see an... Okay, yeah, I want to hear...
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Bill.
Go ahead, Sandy. Go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, tax-free status is an interesting process. It's sort of a part of Americana, and churches and schools and all clubs, all kinds of things are tax-free because they're nonprofit. And I don't know about that. I think we should take issues on directly, maybe not indirectly. I think that vouchers were intended to be given to people based on need, and we've sort of lost that now.
Bill?
So do you think requiring these private schools, if they were going to accept taxpayer dollars, that they have to be held accountable by becoming a taxpaying institution? It really, we are funding private schools through that situation. And to your point, Sandy, I really agree with you 100%. It was meant to help people. Really help people, but we've got to weigh both sides, because if it's destroying public education or making it more difficult, all these gifted and talented kids, or all these kids that could be part of our public school system, are gone. And many of those could be mentors for the kids who really need the help. What do you think?
Hey, Bill, this is a great conversation. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy?
Well, yeah, that is the problem. I mean, the mix of a class is very important. Teachers will tell you that class needs to have the full range of people in the class so that you can bring it forward. I mean, it's much easier to teach a class of entirely gifted students, but if you want to have the best outcome for society, it's best to have kids learning in an environment in which there are gifted students as well as others. First of all, it's very easy. It's very hard to tell who's gifted when they're 6 years old because people have different kinds of gifts, and those gifts reveal themselves at different ages.
You know, Sandy, it's we're at a point where, you know, we can't afford to have all these different school districts, okay? The resources have to come from somewhere. There's not a whole lot of additional resources that these school districts are going to be able to new resources. They have to take resources from the public school system.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I'd have to do the analysis to figure out whether there's economies of scale for school districts and whether smaller school districts are better or worse than large school districts. I do think that one of the problems we have in very large school districts is the remoteness that parents feel from their schools if it isn't if they don't feel that their kids are essentially being schooled within the neighborhood, and this, they get very disconnected by distance and all sorts of other factors. And one of the problems I do think the Milwaukee school system has is that they have so many kids who are going to school so distant from their homes, and their parents have difficulties associated with job responsibilities or vehicle ownership or whatever is required to get to the school, to be involved in the school as parents are in neighborhood schools, that's probably a factor in the educational system problem.
You know, Milwaukee Public Schools attempted to address that. You're right. They knew that was an issue, and so they talked about community schools. They invested a lot of money decade or two ago to try to do exactly what it is you're talking about, to expand the schools that were in the neighborhoods and get people to go to the neighborhood schools.
Well, when you and I grew up, the Milwaukee Public Schools were neighborhood schools.
Yeah, that's exactly what they were.
Yeah, so that change was also made with the path, being a path to the road to hell, because that was done to improve the diversification of the schools. They broke down the school districts because they were based on neighborhood patterns that were racial, and so they wanted to integrate the schools by opening it up and having people travel, and the end result of that was the disconnection of students from and parents from the schools.
So, you know, Sandy, you always make me think about something else. So we've got to go to a break. When we come back, you can join us at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.